The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 14.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie? Camel was hey, guess what not day caffeinated it
is?
Yet.
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
It is hump day. And good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday. Okay, I forgot.
He hadn't had his coffee yet.
Hey, it's 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock here on Wednesday, July the 27th. Good morning, everybody. 530-605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and we are having weather today.
Boy, are we ever having weather today. The high, depending on where you're at, will be anywhere from 111 to 113 or points above that. We hope not. 73 for the overnight low. It gets even warmer tomorrow. And then, as we get into Friday, it starts to taper off to a relatively balmy 108 by Saturday. I have to laugh because otherwise I would burst into tears, you know.
Or flames.
As we get into the beginning of next week, we drop back down to the relatively balmy 100-degree range. Right now in Reading, we are at 72 degrees, and all this is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer, locally owned, locally operated, discounts for seniors and veterans, a veteran-owned business there. Give them a call, 365-3793, this portion of the show, kicking it off with Properties by Merit and John Scaife. John, who owns the company's knowledge and expertise from representing commercial and privately owned residential clients, is coupled with just extensive knowledge of the local market. You know what? John does a great job finding you a new house, a new business, selling your house, and is the one of the top real estate agents in Northern California. What can I say? John Scaife. Give him a call at 338-2112 or check out his website at pbmerit.com. That's Properties by Merit. All right. We're going to start off fast this morning. We have Sam Paredes, Executive Director of Gun Owners of California. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Carl. How are you doing?
Hey, Hillary nominated for President of the United States. Cracked the old glass ceiling, she did.
Wow. Scary thing. Don't look up because the glass might poke you in the eye and kill you.
Well, you know what? I called Sam, I think it was yesterday, and I said, Sam, you know, a lot of confusion on these gun laws. And I said, can you come on and talk about what's going on with the state? And then I understand there's more laws working. They're working their way, not working their way, or being, you know, launched here in the next few days. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. The legislature has one more month of monkey business that they can conduct in the month of August. So they're coming back from their summer break, and who knows what's going to happen. There are multiple gun control proposals on the books, and given their penchant to do what are called gutting amends, they can do anything. So we're expecting that the monkeys are going to jump out of the barrel, and Helter Skelter is going to break loose.
Well, can we start on the laws they passed so
sure
we can ensure, you know what, there's been some confusion. It was on my part. I thought, you know, when I talked to you before and the sheriff and things I had read said that they were going to, on the ammo, on one of the ammo bills, was that you cannot give more than 50 rounds of ammunition to any family member. And which was, you know, gosh, onerous. I mean, the rest of the bills are too, but this one here meant that you couldn't go out and, like, say, go target shooting or, you know, with your friends or anything, like your children. And if you gave them 51 rounds of 22 ammunition, both of you became a lawbreaker. But I think I was I was mistaken on that. Maybe I read it wrong.
What they said is that if you sell more than 500 rounds of ammo, which is a brick of 22, in any given year, you're going to have to get a dealer's license. So you will be breaking the law if I transfer ammunition.
Oh, just transfer ammunition.
Oh yeah, this includes giving or selling
over 500.
Then you have to get a dealer's license. In other words, you have to have a background check and get a certificate of eligibility, be registered as a licensed California ammunition vendor, and then you're going to have to do all of the registration procedures in order to not break the law. So it's still a mess, Carl. It's still a mess. You can't bring any ammunition from out of state. You go hunting in Wyoming. You shoot up, you buy 3 boxes of ammo. You shoot up a box and a half. The remaining box and a half that you have, you cannot bring into the state of California. Police officers can't go outside of the state of California and come back with any ammunition. They're treated just like us. You cannot import ammunition into the state of California.
This is all under that one ammo bill, right?
Yes, this is all under the one ammunition bill.
Okay, let's go with that whole ammunition bill, because to let people know is that we're talking about having to do background checks just to buy ammo. Is that correct?
That's correct. You're going to have to conduct a background check just like when you buy a gun is going to have to be conducted for every purchase of ammunition. In other words, you go and you buy ammo. You're going to have to fill out into a book the brand of the ammunition, the caliber of the ammunition, all of that information, and then you're going to have to put in your name, address, driver's license, the name of the person who sold the ammunition to you, and then proof of identification. Then that information, and then you're going to have to pay $1 for every box of ammunition that you buy. It doesn't matter if you buy a box of 50 or a case of 500. For every box that you buy, you'll have to pay a $1 fee. And then that information is going to be transmitted to the state of California, to the Department of Justice. They're going to do a background check instantly. So if they can do an instant background check on ammo, they can do it on ammo purchases, but we'll talk about that later. And then they're going to put that purchase into what is called the Ammunition Purchasers Database. So they're going to have a database of everybody who buys ammunition. And the information on the ammunition you buy is going to be kept by the state of California for 2 years. So if you buy a box today, 2 years from now, that box will supposedly drop off the list. But only that box. They don't purge it in 2 years and you start over again. No, it's a rolling database, so the box that you bought, that you're going to buy tomorrow, isn't going to fall off the database until 2 years from tomorrow. So that's that.
You mean, okay, so every time that I go in to buy a box of ammunition, do I have to give a thumbprint or anything like that?
Well, the existing law that was written into the statutes by Kevin DeLeon and the court did not allow to be put into effect required a thumbprint. So that is in the statutes. These bills did not address that issue, so we have to wait to see from our attorneys whether the thumbprint itself is chaptered out by this statute. But you are going to have to show proof of identification, and frankly, you're going to have to swipe your driver's license through a reader, and then that's how they're going to be able to identify you, and then see if you can walk out with the ammunition. So
wow,
it's a mess. You can't buy ammunition from out of state and have it delivered to your home via UPS or FedEx or U.S. Mail or anything like that. You can't drive to Cabela's or Shields and bring it back.
You can't.
Right. Violation will be an infraction, a traffic ticket the first time with a $100 fine. Second time, it's another infraction with a $250 fine.
Well,
it's a misdemeanor with up to a year in jail and a $500 fine.
Oh, that's cool. So if I'm coming back from, let's take a break. We need to take a break. But this one, sure. This is the question I'm going to ask. So I come back from Nevada and I bought it because they're having a super sale on 17 caliber ammunition. Is it all just centerfire? It's all ammunition, right? All.
All.
Okay, so they have a super sale and Cabela's over there on 17 caliber ammunition. I buy a brick of it and I come back toward California. And that's where I want to stop. Toward California. We need to take a break right now. That's the question I want to ask is, what happens when I get to the state line? So that's what I want to ask when I come back. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Open 7 days a week, a veteran-owned business there with Espresso Joe's, which has just great coffees, warm drinks and cold drinks, beer, wine, coffee by the pound. It has it all right there at Espresso Joe's. And then walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California with just a super walk-in humidor. Great people, great place. Can't say enough about Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Veterans are treated so well at Tobacco and Brew. We're here with Sam Paredes, Executive Director of the Gun Owners of California, and he's just telling us just how bad it really is. We'll be right back.
She was crying when I first met her. Dawn Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Newly engaged, she had just crashed the vehicle they bought together. It had rolled over an embankment and every panel had to be repaired or replaced. A full paint job was also required. Our estimate was well over $20,000.
Now he won't want to marry me, she cried.
When he arrived, he comforted her and was glad she was safe. On the day of delivery, I learned they were moving out of state immediately. I had inspected the vehicle and test driven it myself, but a drive over a couple of states in the mountains and long desert stretches made me feel uneasy. I was confident in our repair, but what if the unexpected happened? A few days later he called, and my heart skipped a beat. Hi Don, just wanted you to know the car drove perfectly, not even a squeak. It's times like this when I love this business. Coachmaster Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
Attention, parents. Reading School of the Arts is excited to announce the start of the Virtual School for the North State Community. This virtual independent study program for Shasta and neighboring counties will include students in grades kindergarten through eighth grade, and it supports immunized and non-immunized families. Reading School of the Arts will offer a superior educational program to meet the following goals: an alternative learning opportunity to traditional brick-and-mortar institutions, a tailored program that meets state standards, outstanding credentialed teachers, enrichment and tutoring on and off campus, and it's all part of a tuition-free public charter school. For more information, visit rsarts.org. That's rsarts.org. Or call us at 530-247-6933. That's 247-6933.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Six gun in my hand. Behind a gun, I make my my final stand.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bod. Good morning, everybody. 7:21 in the morning. Making my stand. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers. You know, you can't find a better place anywhere to take care of your family than Home Helpers and Sharon Clark. Started a business herself, Businesswoman of the Year, Business of the Year, Home Helpers is. And whether it's for a short period of time or just checking on people, you know, maybe had surgery or an operation or a broken leg, or in-home care 24 hours a day, it's Sharon Clark and Home Helpers. Give her a call, 226-8350. Each person hand-selected, each person trained so well and insured, bonded, background checks, the whole thing. All of this from Home Helpers. And it isn't for long-term care. If you have surgery, like back surgery or neck surgery, and you just can't get around, call Sharon. She'll come on over and say, okay, look, I can get some people here to help you out, and, you know, and it's going to be great for you. Okay, we are on the phone with Sam Paredes of Gun Owners of California, Executive Director. Now, Sam, I just saw a something that Bob showed me, and it was a picture of Bernie Sanders, who said, I really hope Hillary took a good shower this morning, because I'm going to be kissing her butt on national TV tonight.
Oh, my God. Take that picture out of my mind.
I thought that was the
brain wipers here.
Oh, man, yeah. I tell you what, that was hilarious. Okay, now, let's go on back now. Okay, so you buy that brick of ammunition. We're talking about these, about all the gun laws. I mean, these, you know what, people, you're going to have to go in and just like, they're going to do an instant background check to make sure you can buy that ammo. Okay, so I'm coming back across the border. I've been to Cabela's or someplace over there. Oh, my gosh, it's a, you know, or somebody just gave me a brick of 17 HMR. Which is a, yep. Like, it's a, for people that don't know what that is, it's like a .22, except a little bit faster. So I'm bringing, I come to the border, and the man says to me, do you have any fruit or veggies? Is he going to ask me if I have any ammo also?
Well, there's nothing that will prevent them from doing that, even though it is an agricultural stop. Nothing prevents them from asking that question, and of course, if you tell a lie, you tell a lie and you break the law. What we think is going to happen right off the bat, so that the Department of Justice will scare Californians into obeying the law, is that they're going to continue to send agents to the popular gun and ammunition vendors in Nevada, like Shields and Cabela's and Sportsman's Warehouse. And they're going to lounge around eating donuts in the parking lot until they see a California driver's license plate automobile come in. And then they'll just kind of walk in behind them and look to see what they buy. And if they buy a magazine or they buy a box of ammunition, they'll make a note of it. And then they go back to their vehicle and they call ahead to the California Highway Patrol and announce to them that this vehicle with this driver's license is carrying contraband and needs to be stopped and cited.
Welcome to the surveillance state.
And you get a traffic ticket the first time, traffic ticket the second time.
Do they take the ammo too? Do they take the ammo too?
Oh yeah, that will be a violation of the law. So it becomes contraband, and the state of California will begin to accumulate 17 HMR. Ammunition. By the way,
when's it have a sale at the end of the year?
Tell me when that sale happens, because I want to go get my 17 HMR ammo too.
I mean, at least you know who's got it all. Okay, here's a question: can I buy ammo in a caliber for which I do not have a registered firearm with this new law?
Yes, you can. Nothing prevents what you buy and how much you buy. You can buy all the ammunition you want. And any caliber you want, you just have to register it and pass the background check. That's all that's required, and pay the fee. You know, and that doesn't sound like that big a deal, but
it is a big deal.
It is a huge deal. You know, you like 17 HMR, and if you shoot squirrels up in Northern California, 500 rounds is half a day's worth of activity. You do it for a season, and you end up having 5 or 10,000 rounds of ammunition on your database record. What's going to happen when some enterprising DOJ agent is going through the records and they say, okay, Joe Smith has, you know, they bought 300 rounds of ammunition this year, and Jane Doe bought 250 rounds, and Carl Bott had 8,000 rounds of ammunition. Oh, we're going to have to pay this young man a visit. Let's send somebody and see what he's doing with all that ammunition. And nothing prevents him from doing that, you know? And all ammunition transactions will have to be conducted through a dealer. It's like a private party transfer. Now, Carl, here's where it gets mind-blowing. The state of California cannot use the National Instant Criminal Check System, the NICS system, to conduct a background for ammunition. They can only use it for purchases of guns. So California's background check system that they're going to use for ammunition purchases is going to be incomplete. It's not going to contain any information about crimes that might have been committed outside of the state of California. So people can pass a background check in California under in buying ammunition and still be a criminal outside of California. They're not going to know how that's going to be. Now, last year, 1.75 million guns were transferred in the state of California. Out of your average person who buys a gun buys about four boxes of ammunition for every new gun they buy in their first year. That would equate to almost 6 million transactions of ammunition alone from those who bought new guns. What about the people who own the 40 million other guns that are presently out there? We literally have, you know, 18 or 20 million transactions of ammunition purchases in the state of California in any given year. And here the state of California is going to have to create a database to manage that and conduct that many background checks. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, it's not going to go through, and that means you can't buy your ammo.
Dun, dun, dun. Bingo. Yeah.
Okay, but then, but then at that point when the system crashes, like somebody said here, okay, why don't you, every time you buy, you know, do you sell a gun, sell one round of ammo, make them check that too. But the thing is that, you know, if you just have a day where you have a million people go in there, which is not, that may be a lot, but just go in there and say, hey, a million people buy a box of ammo or two boxes of ammo or whatever when it gets like close to hunting season. And what happens then when the system crashes and they, oh, I'm sorry, I can't sell it to you because the system's down. Is that point, is that where a lawsuit begins?
Well,
come back tomorrow, come back the next day, come back in a week?
Yeah, there will be lawsuits that begin, I believe, very soon after the law, even before they get to that point.
Once the law,
they have the potential for getting to that point in the first couple of weeks of the implementation of this system. They are giving it a couple of years to kind of rolling implementation of this thing. They give ammo vendors 1 year to acquire a background check and get a vendor's license. And then the actual regulations are written as to how this is going to work. And then it goes into full effect in 2019. It's 2018, I'm sorry. And, you know, it's going to be a mess. It's just going to be a disaster. You know, it's like we're asking the Department of Justice to drink water out of a fire hose for the amount of information they're going to be receiving and trying to process. They don't have enough people to manage the system that they have right now. Carl, do you know that the person that was doing, or the Department of Justice had to conduct background checks for all CCW applications, or all certificate of eligibility applications for, you know, the gun dealers. All of those background checks were conducted by one person at the Department of Justice.
Well, that was the reason for that, too.
And she promoted out. I think she had enough and said, I'm going to get a better job. And they had a part-time supervisor who was doing the background checks. So people who complain about how long it gets to take to get a CCW is because background checks weren't being conducted by the Department of Justice. And this is going to happen times a million. So it's a unmitigated disaster. Yeah, we're going to go to court. on a whole bunch of different reasons.
All right. Well, we got to take a quick break here because when we come back, because there's a lot more of these laws that that are out there, too. So I'm here with Sam Paredes, Executive Director of the Gun Owners of California, who is just, I mean, we've just been talking 20 minutes just about the ammo law that is just atrocious, and that's going to affect everybody. And the idea that they're going to have people in Nevada or Oregon or someplace where there's a big sporting goods store where you go in and you buy up, you know, you buy some ammo while you're in there, and then they just go over and say, hey, look, we need their name, and they just or they just watch, and then they can send the your license plate back and have you stopped and have somebody say, hey, did you buy anything over there? And it's like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden you're going 150 miles an hour throwing, you know, boxes of 17 caliber out the window. So anyway, okay, we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
As Californians, we are fortunate to live in such a rich agricultural state. California agriculture generates roughly $37.5 billion annually, more than any other state. Orchard Nutrition Center believes that buying local not only supports North State agriculture, but decreases the amount of time between harvest to your family's table, resulting in the freshest, most nutritious meat and produce available. Hat Creek Grown is one of the largest providers of grass-fed beef in California and is a featured vendor of Orchard Nutrition Center. Grass-fed beef has about one-half to one-third the amount of fat than grain-fed beef. It is lower in calories and can also lower LDL cholesterol levels. Hat Creek Grown is family-owned, with its roots dating back to 1903. Delicious, local, natural. Hat Creek Grown at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Redding. Now open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week to better serve your family. Orchard Nutrition Center.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas. I hope you will join me at the annual WWCB Whiskey, Wine, Cigars, and Brew, sponsored by Reading VFW Post 1934, Saturday, July 30th, starting at 2 p.m. We're going to be at the Veterans Hall. Tickets are only $10.
Call VFW Post 1934 at 241-9168, 241-9168, or visit vfwpost1934.org.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott here. Linda is on sabbatical this morning. It's 7:33 in the morning. It's 70. I don't believe it's 70. I think it's hotter than 70 right now. But it's going up to 111. 111 today. So, don't wear underwear. Dress lightly. Drink a lot of liquids. Don't leave anything carbon-based in your car. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Finest place to get CCW training anywhere in California. Ted Leidy, this is his business. It's not part-time for him. He does it full-time. Teaches all over Northern California. He's working his way down to Southern California. All his instructors are professional NRA types. And he has classes going all the time. for in women's only classes, regular classes, and then, of course, advanced classes. Give them a call at 530-999-1822 or register online at readingccw.com. Now, Sam Paredes is our guest from Gun Owners of California. And Sam, we've just been talking for like 25 minutes just on one bill, the ammo bill. And here's a question. In this case, it's Ted Leidy in Northern Firearms Instruction. Sometimes people don't have the guns yet, you know, or they show up with a gun that doesn't fit them, especially in the women, you know, or, you know, they don't have the right pistol. So he'll provide a pistol, and then he provides ammo for that pistol. I mean, as long as it doesn't, not long as it's not more than 500 rounds per person, right?
No.
No?
Per year, per the person, the person who is transferring ammunition, it doesn't care matter if he transfers one round to 500 people. It is
They shoot 100 rounds during the class, and five ladies are in there, and he's got and he puts them on a 22 caliber pistol. So he hands out 100 rounds to each one of the ladies.
Let me make this really clear. If it's consumed right there in his presence, that won't be a problem because he still has control of the ammunition. Shooting it.
Okay, so they can do that. As long as it's shot right there, then it doesn't count.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Oh, well, what? I can't even understand how that modicum of common sense happened. So.
I cannot explain it without saying something that cannot be said over the air on radio and get away with it and you keep your license. So,
okay. All right. Got it. Okay. Give us round two here. What's the next one?
Okay. Let's take care of semi-automatics with bullet buttons. We had two identical bills that were signed by the governor that will, in essence, ban the bullet button, which is the mechanical locking device, magazine locking device that is installed on a gun in order to make the gun a gun with a non-detachable magazine that requires a tool in order to remove the magazine.
Okay.
Well, the legislature got mad that, you know, people figured out that you can use a bullet tip, even though Jerry Brown was the one who wrote those regulations into the law. Mm-hmm. When he was the Attorney General of the state of California, and he knew fully well what the bullet button was, mm-hmm. and he knew that it complied with the law. So the anti-gunners just had a tantrum and said, okay, screw you guys. We're going to ban the bullet button. We're going to make it so that you have to disassemble the action in order to remove the magazine in order for it not to be a California assault weapon.
Uh-huh.
Well, So in essence, your AR-15 platform rifles, your AKs, your Thompson 1927A1s, any gun that right now is only legal for you to possess with a bullet button device, what's called a bullet button, will be affected by this law. You're either going to have to register it as a California assault weapon, at which time you can take the bullet buttons and throw them away and put your regular magazine releases on because you have an assault weapon. Or you're going to have to turn it into the police, or you're going to have to destroy it, or you're going to have to get it outside of the state, either sell it outside the state or move it outside the state. You cannot be in possession of that gun. Or you reconfigure the gun so that it meets the requirements of this law. And our folks are already very busy beavers coming up with multiple options that people will have to be able to reconfigure their gun sometimes at no cost and sometimes at a pretty moderate cost to reconfigure your gun so that it meets even this ban on the bullet button and you don't have to register it as an assault weapon and you can continue to keep this gun. And manufacturers, if they put these devices or techniques onto their guns, will be able to continue to sell these guns in the state of California.
And I'm thinking, so, you know what, I'm sure there's other people thinking on it, but I know you know of one that I know of. That has got a great idea.
Let me put it this way. A California assault weapon is defined as a number one, semi-automatic firearm, number two, with a detachable box magazine, number three, with one of the offending features, whether it's a conspicuously protruding pistol grip, a forward pistol grip, a grenade launcher, a flare launcher, a collapsible or folding stock, and a flash hider. Those are the offending characteristics. If you take one of our existing guns and make it a non-semi-automatic, all of a sudden, nothing else matters. You can have detachable magazines. You can have all of those devices on the gun, and it is not a California weapon.
You don't even need to have a bullet button then, right?
You no bullet button. You can have collapsible magazines. You can put grenade or flare launchers on it. You can put a bayonet lug on it. You can put a flash hider on it. You can put anything you want on that thing. But because it's not a semi-automatic, the first portion of the definition, it doesn't qualify as an assault weapon, okay, no matter what happens after that. So we know that there are multiple new technologies that are being developed and have already been developed in order to address that issue. And I'm sure that in the time to come, after the Department of Justice comes out with their regulations, that people will hear about these technologies and they will go, that is very cool. I need to have one or three or five of those.
I need to have 46. I need to have 46 of those and five of those and all that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. But the law is then. So I mean, it's if you have any of those, if you have a detachable magazine on a centerfire rifle, and it has a hand grip or any, it's only got to have one of those, right? It doesn't have to have,
yes,
all of them. It just has to have one of those things. Then,
yeah,
you are going to have to register it as an AR, at which point then you could care less about a bullet button. I'm already registered. It's mine. So I'm just going to take off the bullet button, put a regular magazine release on that. But now that now I'm registered as owning an assault rifle, even though that's not what AR means. And then that way, the next round, when they come in and they ban all assault rifles, they can just look for it.
That's exactly right. They will have all the information they need, because under once you register it as an assault rifle, you cannot give it away, you cannot sell it, you cannot do anything. If you destroy it or something like that and you want to get off the registration list, you have to prove to the Department of Justice that the gun doesn't exist anymore.
You can give it to a law enforcement official, right?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. A lot of law enforcement officials are going to say, "Sure, give them to us because it's not illegal for us to have them."
Yeah.
But who's going to be doing that with $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 gun, giving it to law enforcement or destroying it? And the bad thing, Carl, is that once you're registered as assault weapon owner, that gun dies. It dies when you die. When you die, you cannot transfer that gun. You cannot will it to your kids.
Unless they're in law enforcement. Unless they're in law enforcement.
Law enforcement or destroy it.
And by the way, I understand Sheriff Tom Basenko is going to make a bunch of little deputy sheriffs out there. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go to the phones. Mike, good morning. You have a question for Sam?
Good morning. Good morning, Colonel. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you doing, partner?
I have a Ruger Mini 14 that does not have a way to put a bullet button on it. I'm certain your guest is familiar with that type of a rifle.
Yes.
Where does that type of a rifle fit in?
Okay, good question.
It is not affected. If the rifle right now doesn't have a bullet button like the Ruger Mini 14 or the Springfield M1A or the Garands or any other semi-automatic gun, if it does not have a bullet button right now in order to make it legal to possess, it will not be affected by this law this year. But just wait till next year.
Okay, got that, Mike? You're okay, Mike, as long because it didn't have a bullet button. It didn't already have a magazine release like a button up there. It was more of a, if I understand right, it's more of something you pull it or you push right behind the magazine itself, like the M1A one.
The Mini 14 is a semi-automatic rifle with a detachable box magazine, but no other offending features.
Right.
It doesn't have the collapsible stock or the pistol grip.
Right. It's
if you
just
put
like,
in a...
No.
Excuse me, hang on. Ah,
I know
got in my...
Well, it's choking me up, too, today, so...
Yeah. If you install a collapsible stock on your Mini 14 or one with a pistol grip on it, then you have manufactured an assault weapon. But if you have a stock standard ranch rifle Mini 14 or the standard Mini 14 without the scope, it does not qualify under these laws, and you need to be
okay. So you're
okay
there, Mike. It's just like the M1A1, the old M14. That does not qualify either, does it?
That's correct.
And so even though it's, you can put a 10-round magazine on it, and it's a battle rifle, and then the funny, you know what, we've got to take a break here, but for me, I've got an M1 Garand, one of the finest battle rifle that won World War II. Deadly and efficient, and but it's got a box magazine, and you don't have to, it has no removable magazine on it, yet it is a very efficient battle rifle. So I know it's just this whole thing is, I just wish that, and I don't want to get into statistics, that'll be next time, but the amount of statistics that you run into, I mean, I'm not talking about the San Bernardino, massacre and things like that, but most crimes, almost all crimes are committed with, are not committed by long guns, and especially by ARs.
You're right. Only 14 crimes were committed by long guns, according to the Department of Justice in 2015. That's all they can account for. 14 out of tens of thousands.
Okay.
It's not a problem.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Wellgate Sports Club. I tell you what, Wellgate Sports Club, Bob goes there, I go there, Linda goes there. It is just outstanding. New equipment, great equipment there.
Working air conditioning,
that's right. Why go run down the trail at 111 degrees when you can go in there in the air conditioning and hurt yourself too and work yourself out at Wellgate Sports Club with an indoor saltwater pool that is just simply outstanding. All of this on the corner of Eureka and Court. The people there are just, they take care of you. Got Boheme Spa on there. That's why it's a club. Go in, work out, get a facial afterwards, and then go back to work. 768-1205, Wellgate Sports Club. Can't say enough about it. We'll be right back with Sam Paredes, Gun Owners of California, with more craziness from Sacramento.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Green grass is everywhere, so come on in and pick up some ethanol-free 93 and get started on the weed-eating lawnmowers. We are filling propane bottles like a factory. If you're in a hurry, we have the exchange program also. We have a lot of race car fuel ready to go. If now's the time you want to talk about upgrading your kerosene heater or on-demand water heater, give Johnny a call. He's doing a lot of free estimates. We have bulk oils in your container or ours and a lot to choose from. Open on Saturday in Reading till 3:30. So stop in and say hello. Northern Lights Energy. When you want to talk to a real person, not an answering machine, give us a try. Reading, Corning, Weaverville. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company. Northern Lights Energy.
Is there anything more relaxing on a warm summer day than your patio? Budget Blinds is locally owned and operated and knows how to make your outdoor space in our area as comfortable as possible. Jerry and the whole Budget Blinds staff offers proper installation of patio shades and exterior window coverings, including solar shades, which can help you save on costly energy bills. Budget Blinds Redding Red Bluff also offers a variety of breathable fabrics and exterior window coverings, including window screens. Don't wait any longer. Give your patio or porch an upgrade with stylish, sturdy patio window coverings. Enjoy shades that gently filter passing breezes while perfectly complementing your outdoor theme. You'll relax on your patio or porch knowing you've got the perfect fit and highest quality service.
My goal for our customer here at Budget Blinds is when we walk out of the house, it's nicer than it was when we walked in. The customer got exactly what they wanted. If you're in need of custom window covering, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web, budgetblinds.com.
The Good News Rescue Mission, breaking the cycle of poverty.
Faith, tell me about your recent accomplishment.
I just graduated Shasta College with a 4.0.
Not too long ago, you were experiencing homelessness and battling addiction.
I was so messed up. I remember using free bread as a pillow and for food.
After the New Life Recovery Program?
I've been clean and sober for over 2 years, and now I'm available to God and friends.
Faith, thank you. You are an inspiration. Over 630 women came to the mission last year seeking help. For more on how your support helps others like Faith, visit GNRM.org.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Happiness is a warm gun.
happiness is a warm gun. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Bad Bob, you are so bad. 11 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, it's 72 degrees going up to 111 today. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. We're on the phone with Sam Paredes, Gun Owners of California. And Sam, yeah, just... Sam's trying to explain, he's not explaining logic because there is no logic, but he's talking about the new gun laws. Sam, here's a question. Are there any new laws for loaning firearms, and is it different if the owner is physically present during use?
Yes. One of the laws that the governor signed made it illegal for people to loan their guns to anyone other than family, and that means wife or spouse, son or daughter, grandson, granddaughter, grandpa, great-grandpa. It can only go in a vertical line. It cannot include in-laws. It cannot include nephews or cousins. It cannot include anything else. Those are the only people that Californians will be lawfully allowed to loan the gun to. But if you lend it to even them for more than 30 days, then you have to go and transfer the gun into their name. That means you have to take it to a dealer, do like a transfer, which includes a 10-day waiting period, the dealer record or sales fee, and then when they give the gun back to you, it has to go back through a dealer and be retransferred to you, which includes a background check and the 10-day waiting period and the fee. So in order to transfer your 10/22 to your son for 33 days, because they're going to go shoot squirrels Lassen County, it's going to cost at least $75 in order to do the two transfers. There'll be 20 days of background checks included, and a whole bunch of gobbledygook. Anybody else, you want to lend a gun to somebody for any amount of time, you have to go down to the dealer and go through just like if you're selling the gun to them. 10-day waiting period.
What if they're using it? I mean, what if you're shooting and it's going to be a day on the range? Can you do that as long as it's with
you? If it's in your presence, then it's still in your control. Right. You don't have to go through all of the transfer stuff.
Okay.
Once it leaves your presence.
Yeah.
But there is an exemption. There is an exemption for hunters. That people can lend guns to friends who are hunters, but only during the hunting season. Now, Carl, you know that any ethical hunter wants to take a gun that they're not familiar with and practice with it, train with it a little bit, and make sure that they can shoot accurately with it. And they're going to do that before the hunting season. So if they want to borrow the gun before the hunting season, they're going to have it transferred into their name and then transfer it back. So that exemption is superfluous. It's as they say in the farming community, tits on a boar. It's useless.
I'm not sure that
lending a gun is going to be a crime.
Okay, I think that one went out, but okay, I understand what you're saying. There's some other laws that were onerous there too. There was besides the ammo and the loaning. What about magazines now?
Well, now the mere possession of a magazine that can hold more than 10 rounds, even though you presently own it and it's legal for you to own, when this law goes into effect, will be illegal. You will be committing a crime if you are in possession of one of these magazines. And it will be a traffic ticket the first two times, and then the third time, it will be up to a year in jail and $500 fine. So I'm going to get all kinds of phone calls. I get them all the time. Sam, I legally bought these. The state of California said it's legal for me to have them. I've had them for decades, and now they're going to be illegal? Yes. The legislature said that
it's simple. Everything. There's no exceptions to this. There's no exceptions for anybody on this, for police or anybody, right?
Well, what happens is that for police duty guns, they can actually have them. But here's one thing. If a police officer goes outside of the state of California to either conduct business or to on a vacation, or so they usually take their duty weapons with their magazines, it will be illegal for them to drive back into the state of California with their duty high-capacity magazines, because although they won't be in violation of possessing one because as a duty firearm, they will be in violation of importing one because there's no exemption for the importation of magazines. Anybody who brings a magazine across the California state borders will be in violation of the law, whether you're a police officer or you're
so when my when my U.S. Marshal son comes up here, U.S. Marshal son who has more felony arrests in New Mexico than anybody's ever had, who's in charge of the SWAT team up there, when they come up to visit me and he's got his duty weapon there, duly issued duty weapon, he has just broken the law.
Actually, he's going to be breaking the law because some of these bills, and we're checking them right now, don't recognize federal officers as California law enforcement officers.
Okay.
They kind of forgot to put in some of those provisions into some of these laws, and our attorneys are making sure that we let all law enforcement officers that are not exempt from these laws know that they are going to be violating the law. So, yes, your U.S.
Marshal.
Yeah, Marshal's son will potentially be in violation of the law.
Oh, he'll love that. Hey, look, we got somebody on the line. Sally,
okay.
Do you have a question? Sally, you have a question for Sam? Hello, Sally?
Yes,
you're
good
on.
Morning.
You have a question for Sam?
I do. I was wondering if he was aware up in Curry County, they have passed Coos County, they have passed a sanctuary county Second Amendment. They have become a sanctuary county up there, and they passed it for their county. It's called the Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance, which will nullify all gun laws coming down the pike from their state. Are you aware of that, Sam?
I've not heard it called a sanctuary county. I do know that sheriffs throughout the United States have said that in their county they're going to nullify all anti-Second Amendment laws and will not enforce them. And in fact, if they are charged by the state for not enforcing them, they're going to say, oh, we're going to enforce them, but you know, here with our limited resources, we prioritize what crimes we have. You know,
which is a smart way of doing it.
All the way down to speeding on the street and somewhere below that is going to be enforcement of the unconstitutional laws.
But that makes sense.
That's very good. Yeah. Sally, if you can forward that information to me, that's something that we need to be talking about and letting people know and maybe encouraging California counties to do the same thing. Heck, we have sanctuary cities for
illegal. Yeah.
Why not for the Second Amendment?
Well, short of becoming a Second Amendment state of Jefferson, this may be something that we could look into.
Okay, I just lost a dollar on that one, Sally. I thought, okay, Bob bet me she's going to say state of Jefferson. I said, no, she's talking guns. Love you, Sally.
Well, you know I had to get it in
I know
there.
You did, Sally. I'm never going to bet against you again, hon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sam.
Okay.
You're welcome.
You know what? Sam is. I understand what Coos County's doing, but I think it's much better to say, "Oh no, we're going to enforce those laws." But then it's priorities. It is priorities. It's much more important to do everything except those.
Yep. Yeah.
I know, Sam.
Given the limited resources that our sheriffs have, I mean, you know, we know that the county boards have cut sheriffs' budgets and. And they have to prioritize what it is that they're investigating and what it is that they're doing.
Okay.
And you know, somewhere below spitting on the street or jaywalking is an appropriate location
okay.
on the priority.
Somebody scale. Just said is, tell me Sam's carrying over next time. No, I've got another guest. But here's what I'm going to do is, Sam, if we need to keep you going on this. So maybe I can get you back this week, maybe Friday, if you're available.
Absolutely. Yeah,
okay.
Let's talk offline and we'll schedule
because
it next week in Montana. So we got to do it this week.
Yeah, we'll do it this week. Now, here's the thing, everybody. Okay. Please stop crying on the chat room here or screaming. What we're going to do is pull Sam back because we haven't even hit all the laws yet. And I, you know, it was, you know, each one of them I think is going to take 15 minutes at least. So, okay, Sam, thank you so much, Sam Paredes. And now look, hey, Sam, how do people get a hold of you and your association to donate and support you?
Thanks, Carl. It's Be Armed and Informed. Go to Gun Owners of California website at gunownersca.com. Just Google Gun Owners of California. We just came out with a new updated website that's very cool and very easy to use. It's easy to donate. And you'll get receipts on any contributions that you make, and you will be totally up to date on everything that's going on in the elections, in the courts, in the legislature. You will be armed and informed in order to be able to fight to protect your Second Amendment rights. So come on and join us at Gun Owners of California. We'd love to have your help.
Okay. Now, we're also going to have Bill Chappelle is our next guest, who is running for Shasta Board of Supervisors, Shasta County, and we'll ask him about the Second Amendment. We'll be right back.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The man who attempted to assassinate President Reagan will be allowed to leave a Washington mental hospital and live full-time in the state of Virginia. John Hinckley Jr. ready to live in the community, according to Judge Paul Friedman. He ruled today that he will now have full-time convalescent leave that should begin no sooner than August 5th. Hinckley's release from Washington's St. Elizabeth's Hospital is more than a decade in the making. Prosecutors dropping the remaining charges today against three Baltimore police officers awaiting trial in the death of Freddie Gray, bringing an end to the case without a conviction. Gray was a 25-year-old black man whose neck was broken while he was handcuffed and shackled but left unrestrained in the back of a police van in April of 2015. Hillary Clinton becomes the first woman ever to be nominated for president by a major political party.
Hello, Philadelphia. I am so happy. It's been a great day and night. What an incredible honor that you have given me. And I can't believe we just put the biggest crack in that glass ceiling yet.
In her video appearance to the Democrats' National Convention, Clinton said her place atop the party's presidential ticket marks a victory for women. Tennessee Bernie Sanders delegate Jasper Christie Douglas says she felt she had to walk out when Hillary Clinton was finally nominated.
We have watched for the past 13 months this election become stolen from Bernie Sanders, and I think we've had our eyes open to the entire process and how corrupt it's been from the beginning.
The battle continues against a wildfire burning about 300 miles north of Los Angeles. It's causing serious headaches for residents like David Siebert in Carmel Highlands.
I mean, it's pretty devastating. I think it's got residents a little bit on pins and needles, to be honest with you.
The blaze is burning inland over a ridge. If it crests that, it could make a run toward some of the area's more beloved campgrounds and lodges. More of these stories at townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
It's National Make-A-Will Month at LegalZoom.com, so it's time to take care of your will or trust. LegalZoom makes it easy. They're not a law firm, so there's no office visits or paying expensive hourly rates. Instead, you could save over $100 with LegalZoom's will or trust estate plan bundles. And if you don't know whether a will or trust is right for you, don't worry. You'll work with an independent attorney available in 48 states to get advice on what you need. Do the right thing this month at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom.com.
Federal investigators say the driver who was killed when his Tesla sedan crashed while in self-driving mode was actually speeding just before hitting the side of a tractor trailer.
The National Transportation Safety Board says in a preliminary report that the Tesla Model S was traveling at 74 miles an hour in a 65-mile-an-hour zone on a divided highway near Gainesville, Florida. The report says the driver, Joshua Brown of Canton, Ohio, was using the sedan's cruise control and lane-keeping features at the time. While those features are part of the vehicle's autopilot self-driving system, the NTSB report does not mention the system.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Two Good Samaritan vessels of the high seas have managed to rescue 46 people who had been forced to abandon their sinking fishing boat and board life rafts off of Alaska's remote Aleutian Islands. The Coast Guard says there were no reports of any injuries as crew members were safely picked up last night. Breaking news at townhall.com. Nearly three dozen Chicago-area gang members have been indicted in an alleged racketeering conspiracy that includes arson, extortion, and the attempted killing of a police officer, U.S. Attorney Zachary Farden.
We announce charges, including federal racketeering charges, against 34 ranking members of the Latin Kings street gang in Chicago and more, as you'll hear in a moment, in Indiana.
Pardon yesterday noting that the alleged racketeering conspiracy includes arson, extortion, and the attempted killing of a police officer. Is all the anti-police rhetoric you may have been hearing lately having anything to do with more attacks on police officers? A report finds that shooting deaths of law enforcement officers spiked 78% in the first half of this year compared to last. The National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund also notes that includes an alarming increase in the number of ambush-style assaults on officers. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bod. Linda is on sabbatical today. Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, July the 27th. It is 8:05 in the morning, and Bad Bob, give us the good news.
I wish I had. Please do not shoot the messenger. Our wonderground.com weather just updated, and I'm waiting for the screen to reload. High today of 111 degrees, overnight low of 73. It moves up to 113 for Thursday, holds there on Friday. Saturday, we hit a cooling trend as it drops to about 108, and then by Sunday, a mere 100 degrees. So hot, dry, and bad news. Fire-wise, for the next several days, please, please be careful. Don't do stupid things outside like run a weed whacker at high noon. This report is, it is 79, closing in on 80 degrees here in Reading at 8:06 in the morning.
Why are we laughing?
I have
Why
to laugh because laughing? I'm going to burst into tears if I don't.
No, you're going to burst into flames. If you know what, you're going out there. Just take the top off that Jeep of yours and drive down the road. And by the time you get home, you'll look like frail. We'll call you Bad Bob Jerky.
Look like you've been in Hawaii.
This is brought to you, good and bad, by Shasta Gas Propane.
Hey, a better-known business right here in town. Great people, Chuck and Junie Kitty. What can I say about that? Except that they have discounts for seniors and veterans. Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. Like I said, a better-known business here. This portion of the show is brought to you by another better-known business, Alliance Heating and Air. Wow. Is this a perfect time to talk about Martin and his people voted best in the North State 2015? Do you need anything done to your air conditioner? If you do, give him a call, because Martin and his people are so professional. They'll be out there. They'll fix it for you. Great prices. Very fair. Very professional. I can't say enough about Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. And by the way, if it's an emergency, you'll be out there. And they'll stay there until it's fixed. Alliance Heating and Air. All right. We didn't finish up with Sam Paredes of Gun Owners California. We just barely touched the surface, because there's many more laws that are that the squirrels in Sacramento have foisted on us, including, and now we're hearing things like there's sanctuary counties up in Oregon for the Second Amendment, and you know, and it's just amazing what the people in Sacramento have done to make all of us lawbreakers. But those laws have to be enforced. And one of the, you know, some of the people that make sure those laws are enforced are Board of Supervisors. And we have with us the Shasta Board of Supervisors, Bill Chappelle. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you doing this morning?
Running for re-election?
Yes, sir. I'm running again. So I run with the presidents, and we've got a final coming up November the 8th.
You're running with the presidents. Am I going to see? I don't think I saw you up on the stage with Hillary.
Well, Hillary. Yeah, that would have been a good one. It just seems like I fall in with when they get elected. So I expout the run with the presidents, although they don't call me and ask me my opinion on things. I'm not for sure why.
Well, I don't know why either. I mean, you know, they've obviously lost touch with everybody. Uh-huh. Okay, Bill. Now, the campaign you're running now, but I want to talk to you about things that you've done here over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And gosh, it doesn't seem like it's been 4 years.
It doesn't seem like 4 years, and I'm the unremarkable supervisor. If you read the the editorial in the Record Searchlight. And it was kind of funny because, you know, I work with the Sheriff's Department heavily, and I work with the various entities that we have. I work with people that have permit problems. I've solved a lot of problems with permit problems. One of the programs that I'm most proud of is that I got the Malachi Dads, which is a biblical book in the Bible, in the Shasta County Jail. And it's also taught at Good News Rescue Mission. And it's a program, and it's not extremely old, but it is actually now international. The gentleman that started it is out of the L.A. area. And the recidivism rate drops down to like 20% if the inmates go through it. And the purpose of it is that it teaches the inmates some responsibilities in parenting and what they need to do. And they now they're trying to introduce one for females, but it started off for males, and so it's predominantly males right now. But they've gotten so much success with it that they know they need to try and start a female program also. Shasta County, right now, when I talk to them, their problem is their room is not big enough, and they want to have videos and video cameras. And so I talked to him once. I said, well, let me know what that cost. Maybe we can find somebody who'd like to donate one or something. So what they can do then, they can put that out as a video instead of having people in the classrooms. But some of the, how can I say this, the more violent or heavier criminals in Shasta County Jail have actually participated in the program and told other inmates to go to it. So it's working really well. And I think, for me, Carl, what I think is that, you know, when we look at jails, I taught California Youth Authority for 4 years, and there's no rehabilitation there. There's more of generally turning somebody into the more of the criminal mind. Here's what happens when you get out of jail. Your societal reject. You got jailhouse tattoos on you. You don't know how to operate in the society. You have your own jargon, your own street, your own jailhouse habits, and they don't work well. And so if you go to try and get a job and somebody's got a couple years education or 4 years education, that person's going to get the job. What I feel, and I know this is abstract and it's out there ways, but I would like to see where we got involved with, we took our state jails and we started categorizing them as prisoners that aren't going to rehabilitate, the violent ones, start categorizing them into categories to where, and the ones that we feel that we can help, which I'm going to guess it would be maybe 15%, which for the state of California, that's worth $50,000 a year per person. If we could do that, even if we got 10 or 15%, we'd be successful. And we put them into a jail that actually has computer and vocational teaching abilities where they can actually learn a trade. Then when they get out, they've got something to sell to an employer, and they've got certificates that say this is what we can do. That's kind of a out-there dream. I think, you know, just to, if you separate the bad, in other words, everybody gets thrown into the same.
No, I understand. So you're winnowing out the ones that look like can be helped, and you helped them. The rest just stay in there.
Correct. And then, okay. And if it takes transferring from one state to another, I don't see why we can't open those avenues up. I mean, it would be the best thing to do. I see that we're the highest in the world on lockups. They turn around and get locked up again. The program's not working, and the program's been going on for years. I had a real successful program at Preston. I actually placed them on jobs. Now, they didn't stay real long. My boss told me my standards were too high. But I had them staying as much as a year, 8 months, 6 months sometimes. The only thing that they didn't do, and they could have because they were working at gas stations, and that was back when they actually had gas stations where they had cash registers and selling tires and batteries and all that stuff, they could have took the cash and left. They didn't. Everyone that I checked that left, they never stole anything from the place. So somewhere along the line, they had some integrity, and I thought that was pretty good. But it's just along those lines.
Okay. We're here with Bill Chappell, running for re-election for County Board of Supervisors, Shasta County Board of Supervisors. We're going to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Budget Blinds, however. Jerry and his people over there at Budget Blinds, they've got something like solar shades, which can keep the heat out of your house and cut down on your electric cost. You know what? I don't know why I don't have solar shades in my house, but I tell you what, I'm going to get solar shades. I'm going to have Jerry do it. Because Jerry and Budget Blinds are the ones that can get the job done. They work inside your budget, and they make sure that your window coverings work. And the thing about solar shades is that you may be able to get up to $500 back from REU for this, because you're saving energy, which is another show totally about that. But Budget Blinds is the way to do it. Give them a call at 226-9027 or check them out on the web at budgetblinds.com. Cool your house off. Save money. Budget Blinds. We'll be right back with Bill Chappell. Got a bunch of questions coming in for you, Bill.
At WellCareMD, they do this thing called direct primary care. Instead of dealing with insurance companies and the unknowns of co-pays and co-insurance, I get unlimited, accessible, highly personalized health care for a low monthly fee. WellCareMD has same or next day appointments available for me, and I can access my doctor on my time via text or email. After hours care is available for me when appropriate, so I can avoid unnecessary ER and hospital visits. I can also go to monthly lunches to discuss health topics, and I receive discounts to local businesses. My friend's employer even offers WellCareMD through her benefits. Schedule a meet and greet to talk with Dr. Jill and see if WellCareMD is right for you. Call 262-6626 or visit us on the web, WellCareMD.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
Here's some important information from REU, Reading's electric utility. REU recognizes how utility costs affect our customers. We would like to take this opportunity to remind our customers that we offer special programs like our Lifeline and Lifeline Plus programs for income-qualified customers. REU also offers other customer assistance programs. For more information, visit us at reupower.com or call us at 339-7200. REU and you, powerful together.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just gray houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Country roads, take me home to the place I belong.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl in the Bot. Good morning. It's 8:20 in the morning. I'm kind of like thinking that that's got to do with like the homeless are coming back to town or something like this.
What? I don't know. We live in the rural lifestyle.
We do.
Which those south of us seem to despise as double-wide dwelling.
I love John Denver. I could listen to John Denver all the time. You know, he's probably one of my favorites. Even if his name is, John Denver. And he had so many great songs. All right. That was just an aside. A sidebar, as Linda says. 8:20 in the morning. It's 80 degrees out there, going up to 111 today. Dress wisely. And don't leave any carbon-based forms in your car if you're not in there. If you're not in there. They already just got a lady the other day who left her 8-year-old boy while she went into Walmart or someplace. 8 years old, cracked the windows, she came out, the police are there, child dies on the way to, no, not here in Reading, someplace else, but on the way to the hospital. He was 8 years old. So, I mean, don't assume because they're 8 years old that if mommy says stay in the car, they may stay in the car even if it's just so bad there. Anyway, so this is just an example. No, it did not happen here in Reading. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. You know, you ought to start thinking about if you want to have a gun, maybe you start buying them right now. And if you want to buy a great gun, whether it's a pistol or a long gun, go down to John Bastiani. He's going to make a deal for you. If you're a veteran, you're going to get a great, great discount. He's got it all. Pistols, long guns. He has all the shooting accessories, reloading. And we'll talk about reloading one of these days. All the optics that you could possibly want and classes in CCW and hunter safety. Not only that, locally owned, locally operated, give him a chance to beat those big box store prices, which he can do. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Okay, we're with Bill Chappelle, who's running for re-election here for Shasta County Board of Supervisors. And, maybe some people, I know it's hard to believe this, maybe they don't know who Bill Chappelle is. So tell us who Bill Chappelle is.
Bill Chappelle moved up here in 1978, bought Lakeshore Resort and Marina. Ran it for 25 years. I ran it to the end of 03 and 04. That's why I have such lovely thoughts about the government. They didn't renew my permit to operate, which cost me about $1.5 million. I took some of the business and I leased what I had left. I leased some of the boats over at Antlers, which are still continuing to run out there. And in 2000, and I became a realtor in 2005. And then in 2012, last part of 11, I decided to run for supervisor. It was something I was always thinking about doing when I was a lot younger. And so some of my friends got together and said, well, you ought to go ahead and do it. So I did. And fortunately, thank you everybody for their support and putting their trust in me. I won, and I'm rerunning again. I won at least a second term. And who knows about the third term yet, but I enjoy the job. I help the constituents of Shasta County. Anybody, if you talk to anybody that's worked with me, they're real happy with the results and the solutions we get to their problems. And I enjoy the job for some reason. I'm not that fond of the government, but if I can help people, that's what I want to do. I kind of had visions of grandeur when I first got in there. I thought possibly we could push back. Riverside County tried to do that with their mental health programs. The state keeps cutting us back on our funds, all the counties, and mental health was one of them. And so it got to where Riverside County says, you know what, you guys cut us back so much, we don't want to do this anymore. You can take it back over because you had it before. And they said, fine, we'll take it back over, but we think your road fund's going to now be cut back. So it is basically a blackmail situation. So if you try to push back on the state.
So the state says, okay, fine, you take it over. Okay, great. Yeah. Now we're going to take your road funds.
Yeah.
Well, then take that over too.
Yeah.
And why don't you just come down and just run the county?
Just keep going.
Just run the county for us. Yeah, just hire us in here. We'll just run it. Okay, hey Bill.
Well, if we keep our money, we can do that, but we've got to sit.
But we can't. Okay, hey, Bill, a couple of questions rolling in here. Kristen Schrader just came yesterday. When she talked to the city council, they all backed off on it, said, we're not giving any money until we know more.
Uh-huh.
She came in to speak to the Board of Supervisors yesterday.
Yes.
It was on the front page today. She got kind of the same response, is, hey, we need to know more. What's your thoughts on this, building all the things that they want to do with the homeless in the continuum of care?
Well, David Kehoe listed a whole list of concerns. He did an excellent job putting it in type writing and handed it out to people, all of his questions, the people that had to answer them and so forth. And I think his questions had merit. And I feel that I think the board as a whole would be behind this because we're certainly know we have a homeless problem and we certainly are looking for solutions. We do have, the county's got three or four different programs right now that the homeless can use. We also have, you know, things like Good News Rescue Mission and stuff like that that they can use. But what they're trying to do is possibly get, in one of the committees, they call it as a COC. I love all these acronyms. I hate them. It's the Continuum of Care. And that's kind of the cap on all the other two or three committees they have underneath them. And that would set out the guidelines on where they could do. And I think there's probably a real merit in setting guidelines out and letting people that want help. Now, remember, not all homeless want help. Some homeless are so mentally deranged, they don't even know what you're talking about. So those would have to have medical care and see if there's any type of a medication that could help them. But the ones that can have care and do want help and do want a job and want to get back to work, those are the ones, that's the segment of the population that we need to address. And what they were talking about is handing it over to United Way of Northern California. They thought a nonprofit would be better to handle it. I expressed a concern. It got kind of misunderstood, but I think I straightened it out last night with the Record Searchlight. They thought I said I was against it. I said, no, I'm not against it. I said, but if you hand it over to anybody and you've got your standards that you want to continue with, you need to keep checking to make sure that they have the same visions and they're operating in the same vein that everybody agreed to start with. That was my problem there. The other thing is a two-year study, and it doesn't, and I don't want to make this sound negative, but it doesn't help one homeless person. So maybe they can cut the study down. I don't know. I'm not involved in that end of it, but maybe they can get the study going a little faster and get some stuff put together a little quicker where it wouldn't take the 2 years, because I think the end result is how we're going to deal with it and how we're going to get the message out. I know Les Boxbrest, he goes and he talks to them, and some of them he's talked to said they'd go to work. Some of them he obviously talked to, and they're not mental enough. I have, over the past years, stopped giving them some money sometimes, which you're not supposed to do, and talk to them a little bit. And it just depends on who you get. Sometimes you get a person that really is just down and out on their luck. Sometimes they got into drugs. And money went out, everything went out. They were married, they're divorced, and they're on the street. So
but something, you agree, something has to be done. I mean, we're up to our butts in transients and homeless around here.
We're up to our butts, and so is the rest of America.
So this is a plan to move forward. And I'm not saying I'm supporting this plan, but at least it's a plan, which we see as, you know, from the city and the county, there is no plan.
Yeah, well, it's a start, and that's what's important. You know, they brought up Lloyd Pendleton, which he made a presentation here about a year or so ago. I actually went to that.
The one from Utah.
Boys school, yeah.
Non-starter. But the one from San Antonio about having a sobering center that once you get them in there and they want to move on to the next set.
Yeah.
This is one of the things that's a would you support a sobering center?
Yes, sobering center and a crisis intervention center. That's
okay, so
be important.
Kind of, what about a center where they can come in during the days like this? And so they're not hanging out in the parks, they're not hanging out in front of businesses, that they can go in and charge their, you know, their cell phones, go to the bathroom.
Yeah, you could do that with just a multi-purpose building, just a lot of square footage, right? You wouldn't have to have bedrooms or anything.
You would not need that.
Big, like a big gym or something like that.
It could
that,
be. It know? Could be things in there where people.
And,
could, but so you would
and
support
so they could
that?
Have possibly a showers in there, and then they could have toilets in there, and they could have also. There would be some one counselor, at least one, that could actually talk to some of them and actually get some ideas and feedback from them. I think one of the things that was missing yesterday is they didn't have any homeless there, which would have been nice. And I think the other thing is that if we're going to help the homeless, we need to know what they need. Does that make any sense? In other words, talk to them. Talk to 100 of them and find out what they say. and you'll and try and get every spectrum of what the homeless people are. So some of them aren't going to make any sense at all, but the ones that do make sense may come up with some really good ideas that are totally viable, and that's what we
Well, you always go down to the machine gunner. You go down to the little PFC that's down there, it's 18 years old, it's been that's what his job is. It's, you know, he's shooting a machine gun. So if you got, I would say that's a good idea. What would be good for you from the homeless? But I would think that they would do that during the study, but then again, maybe not.
Well, they didn't have a homeless person. There was one homeless advocate there that shows up and emails us a lot. He's actually been homeless at one time and has a website and a Facebook, not a website, has Facebook and stuff. And he alluded to the fact he thought it would be a good idea, this program. But the thing is that, that's where we need to go. And I'm certainly not going to say that this is a bad program. It's not. It's the start, and anybody wants to got something rolling, I think it's a great idea. I think that, you know, in the meantime, is just to kind of tweak things out, like everything that's new needs to be done, and get some of the community. I read some of the reports where they had several people from community putting in input. Sometimes when you get several people, your idea of where you're trying to go, your direction of idea gets lost. Because there's so many different ideas. It's like Fords and Chevys, okay? So you've got to stay with the program, and you got to stay with the goal. The goal is to help as many homeless people as we can. That should be the number one goal, and that should be right on the top of everything they have. Our goal is we're going to help as many homeless people as we can, because you're not going to help them all. And then from that aspect, then start putting what I see what this can do is maybe direct those homeless into the proper programs that are already existing.
Okay, hey, we got to take a break here. We're with Bill Chappell, running for re-election here, and the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. We were talking about the homeless situation, the briefing that Kristen Schrader, whether you agree with it or not, at least it's some kind of plan that's been thrown out to everybody, and so that they can work on this plan to see, you know, tweak it in such a way as how to make it work, I think is what Bill is saying here. This portion of the show brought to you by Dandelion, 1322 Pine Street right here. Guys, if you're looking for the perfect gifts, or ladies looking for a perfect gift for yourself or your friends, go on down to Dandelion. I tell you what, they have it all there. From you walk in and you can be outfitted from hats to shoes. You got it all there. And bracelets, watches, the whole thing. Brighton bags, Miss Me jeans, they have it. They have it all right there, Dandelion. And they're really, really nice people down there, every one of them. 1322 Pine Street, 247-1292 is their phone number. Give them a call. We'll be right back with Bill Chappell. It is 8:31 in the morning. It's 82 degrees, going up to 111.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for a collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Seck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coach Master, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with me, John Whitmarsh from Access Mortgage. We know how to say approved. I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience. So call me today at 945-9660. Let's get you into your dream home.
Access Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1096314.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bach. Good morning, everybody. It's 25 minutes to the hour of 9 o'clock. We've had a busy morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, right there. It's Man's Last Stronghold, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts to seniors and veterans. The best place in the world to get a haircut. I mean that. I am there every 2 weeks. If nothing else, just to sit there and catch up on my reading. National Geographic, Guns and Ammo, Car and Track, Flying, and, of course, Men's Health, because it's all there at Cypress Square Barbershop, right up the street from Classic Cafe, where Millie and Kathy will give you free hugs when you walk in and serve some just outstanding food. Okay, I'm here with Bill Chappelle, running for re-election for county supervisor, and we are been talking about the homeless now, and then I want to talk now about crime. Crime's risen. We have no place to put them. We had all these grandiose plans for the county courthouse, which have been shot down, looks like. So tell us about crime. What do we do with these people that we catch?
You know, it's a really complex problem at this point because Jerry Brown really dumped a load on us with 109. And then also, there is a misconception on 109. A lot of people think we're getting other people's prisoners and stuff. No, Shasta County locked a lot of people up in certain periods of time, and they went to state jails, and now we're getting them back. It's not to say that they can't be a productive citizen. It's to say that it's an overload on our system because we don't have the funds. We don't have the sheriff funds. We don't have the probation funds. We don't have the money to really do a job that needs to be done. The next thing they did, they passed 57, where they took and they dropped everything under $950 into a misdemeanor. So I've walked into grocery stores, Walmart, Safeway, and I've seen carts full of food that's set by the front door. And what people do, they go in, they have a calculator, and they punch that food up to about $900, and they walk out the front door. If they get caught, they get a ticket. And if they don't get caught, they got a basket full of food. If somebody steals your gun, Carl, and it's only worth $250, it's a misdemeanor. It used to be a felony.
I think they changed that back in his last.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. But the bottom line is, okay, so, but I understand that. Everybody understands that. But where is the outrage from the board of supervisors to build a new, or to, I mean, I know you voted to expand the ARC, you know, down there for double the size of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Supervisor Modi and Supervisor Kehoe voted against it,
right,
by saying there wasn't going to be money to run it.
Right, the administrative costs.
So here we are, no better than we were before. We're still up to our butts with criminals. And where's the ideas to say, okay, this is how we're going to handle this?
We actually had the slush fund. We got a slush fund set aside. It's not that much now, but at that time it was $10 million, and that was to go towards anything we might have to do with the courthouse when the new courthouse got built. It was saving money for that. since then it's been spent for the sheriff, the new sheriff's building and stuff like that. A few of the $1 million have been gone. We gave another $1 million to Pat Minturn for road improvements. It was $4 million, and even Les Mulberger got up, and because he was the one that drew he's the one that drew the plans up. And when he drew the plans up, and they got to really look at them, how the jail was locked, the jail was laid out. There's if you take like pie cuts, so there's three triangles. So the first triangle is 96 beds. Is that right? 68 beds, right?
68 beds.
It's double. It goes to 128.
Right.
So whatever, 64 beds maybe. So then the two other triangles were the area where they could go out and recreate and relax and stuff. And it was a cut. It's going to be covered. So there's a wall on one side, a wall on the other side, and a covered area. He said, you know, if we fill this in, we can actually go, half, I think, was 96, and then the total was 128. And if we went to 128, it's $4 million. The resistance came because the $4 million, to me, was a drop in the bucket. But the resistance came because they said it was going to cost $350,000 for extra administrative costs that the county doesn't have. I can't confirm or not confirm that figure. I would just say, okay, let's just say it's correct. So then I came back and I said, then let's put the walls in and we'll rough plumb it and we'll rough get it all rough plumbed and rough wiring, close it off, and at least we got it for the future. It's done. And Leonard Modi's position was, well, you know, the public's going to put pressure on us to open it up, so we can't do it anyway. But it was the most, to me, I mean, obviously some people don't understand building. If you're going to build something, the cheapest time to build it is the time that it's being built, not the time after it's built, because now, and eventually they're going to have to expand it. But now we're probably looking at $12 or $15 million. And then what are they going to do with the prisoners that are in there? Because there's going to be a lot of security problems with construction workers coming in and out of there and everything.
Well, it's never going to be built. I mean, let's just call it the way it is. It's killed. And again, we still have no plans coming. You know, I know that you tried to do it, but yet I don't understand what's so hard to come up with this plan. But then again, you know, one of the people that says a question here is like the sobering center and the or the day center is, where's the money coming from when we have a flat line tax, line here? But before we get to that, Billy Bob's been waiting for a few minutes. I know this is going to be about permitting and construction, which is one of the things we were going to talk about. So let's start it right here. Billy Bob, good morning. Am I right? Hey, am I right?
Yes. Well, yes, you are always right, Carl. Thanks for taking my call.
Don't give him a big head now.
Yeah, I mean, hey, would you mind calling Linda and telling her that?
She knows. Don't worry about it. Hey, listen, Bill, great to hear you, and I'm glad you're running for re-election, but my concern is, and then I'll comment on that jail since you were just laboring on the fact that we have no place to lock these criminals up. 5 years ago, the county board of supervisors, the lack of foresight and understanding of the circumstance, turned $34 million of state money over. We would have had the Twin Tower built there, and we would have had another 264 beds, and Brasenko could have managed very economically in that respect, and then they turned it down because there's not enough money to run it. Well, we could have got grants, and there's ways to work around that stuff. At least the building would have been built. So anyway, but more to my point, I was wondering, as I've mentioned before, have you, as anybody on the Board of Supervisors re-engaged with 3M Corporation on this Moody flat? Has anybody written a letter, or is there any red carpet that's being rolled out for these people, or are we're just going to sit here like a bunch of hens in a chicken coop waiting for the goddamn fox, or excuse my language, waiting for the fox to, approach? So
yeah, we don't have a bleep button.
I don't know what you said. I missed it.
Okay, so let me go to the, okay. the first.
We understand your passion there. It was borderline.
We're okay with that. As long as there are no hyphenated words going, I'm okay.
So where we're at with the jail and the money, you're right. We had that, but the funding to operate it was not going to be there. And what would happen if we couldn't operate it down the road, or we couldn't keep it in operation, the state would have taken over and made it into a state penitentiary, so we would have had a state penitentiary in Shasta County. And that was downside on that one.
Well, good. At least it's a place to lock them up.
Well, yeah. And maybe, you know, I mean, maybe, I mean, you know, you don't know. The crystal ball could be cracked. The other thing is that you were addressing the
the 3M Moody.
Yeah. God. So anyway, I work with Josh Lowry personally. He's out of Cincinnati, and I know a lot about the 3M. I was in all the meetings with the 3M. I was an advocate for the 3M.
No, I know you were, right?
And so there's a couple things that happened, and I don't know how bad this one was. But I'll tell you truthfully what I think would happen. But they weren't having a trouble getting a spur. Their main gun was to get a spur off that main railroad track that runs right through their property, and then they could load the rock in there, and then it's always going to be transferred to San Francisco, because San Francisco's quarry is like 20% left of life, right? And when they did the study in California, a lot of the rock quarries were less than half. So it was a good timing for the rock quarry. I mean, we have a rock quarry in the Walnut Creek area.
Yeah, but let's go on. Let's continue on this 3M here. Is that they had? Did something happen to that spur?
Well, they said they were having trouble getting them to let them do the spur.
Who's them?
The 3M was having trouble getting whoever owns a spur, Santa Fe or whatever. It is,
okay.
The track.
Okay.
Okay. To getting that spur done. Now the other thing though that Josh made he was very adamant about. Is that when we go into an area, we're usually red carpeted because of the jobs. In 2 years, it was going to be 120 jobs, and those jobs were paying $25 to $35 an hour with all of your medicals and stuff. Okay, so benefits. So, and plus building the thing with all the construction jobs that were going to go on in the early part.
Oh, yeah, millions of dollars.
But he said that we're usually red carpeted, and he said we have never, ever met this much resistance in a project like this, ever. And what happened is that another thing is the boss has changed. The head said the one that was for it retired, and another guy came in, and I don't know if he was being more economical because he thought maybe it might not be that, you know, might look bad on his record if he does it and it doesn't make a profit like they thought it would. But he slowed it down too. So there was about three different issues there that occurred. I still talk to Josh, okay?
I
haven't called him in a while, but it's not dead. It's inactive right now.
Okay, so it's not dead.
Yeah.
All right, Billy Bob.
Are we going to get a formal letter by the Board of Supervisors whether we can get Leonard Modi and Kehoe out of bed in the morning to get a letter written or something that expresses our intent to work with them, or is that in the works?
We did that early on. I had Rick Simon in the meetings. I wanted I didn't want our planning department. It did. Well, he wanted it in May. We got it into June, early July, which is a couple months off, month and a half, so it was pretty good.
The boxes checked.
And the other thing is the fish and game came up with Fish and Wildlife now, came up with this other thing. They wanted another EIS. And that threw the other monkey wrench in the deal.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll let you guys go.
Thanks, Billy Bob.
I'm glad you're running for re-election, and I'll vote for you. All right, bye.
Thank you.
So it was just 1,000 different things. It was the death of 1,000 cuts.
It is. And, you know, so, I told Josh, I said, welcome to California. It's the most unfriendly, and this is serious junk right here, business-oriented state probably in the United States of America now.
It is, but the thing is that many of the citizens of this county fought it. Just like they fought the Churn Creek mall, and just like they fought other things here. I mean, it's not in my backyard. I mean, how many times is this going to happen, and then businesses are just going to not?
Knopf.
Yeah.
They fought Knopf, okay? And now Knopf is actually lower on the CO2s, which to me is a bunch of airy-fairy stuff, than was predicted. So they're actually getting credits. So...
we got to take a break.
It's the old syndrome, not in my backyard.
Carl. Yeah, I know, but you know, it's costing. I mean, at some point, it's got to be in somebody's backyard.
That's right.
All right, maybe we're going to take a break here. We'll be right back with Bill Chappelle.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Green grass is everywhere, so come on in and pick up some ethanol-free 93 and get started on the weed-eating lawnmowers. We are filling propane bottles like a factory. If you're in a hurry, we have the exchange program also. We have a lot of race car fuel ready to go. If now's the time you want to talk about upgrading your kerosene heater or on-demand water heater, give Johnny a call. He's doing a lot of free estimates. We have bulk oils in your container or ours, and a lot to choose from. Open on Saturday in Reading till 3:30. So stop in and say hello. Northern Lights Energy. When you want to talk to a real person, not an answering machine, give us a try. Reading, Corning, Weaverville. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Good News Rescue Mission, breaking the cycle of poverty.
Faith, tell me about your recent accomplishment.
I just graduated Shasta College with a 4.0.
Not too long ago, you were experiencing homelessness and battling addiction.
I was so messed up. I remember using free bread as a pillow and for food.
After the New Life Recovery Program?
I've been clean and sober for over 2 years, and now I'm available to God and friends.
Faith, thank you. You are an inspiration. Over 630 women came to the mission last year seeking help. For more on how your support helps others like Faith, visit gnrm.org.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Albert.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, and gosh, we're in our last segment of it, July the 27th. Bob, tell us real quick what the weather's going to be like for the rest of the week.
How about hot?
Okay, it's going to be hot. Okay, no, that's okay. And the weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. Discounts for seniors and veterans. It's going to go up to 111 today, people. So dress correctly. Don't leave any carbon-based life forms in your car or truck. I mean, in the back of your truck like everybody else. And, Bob, you got something hot here.
I do have good news, though. Shasta Lake is only 35 feet down.
Only 35?
Yeah.
Hey,
which
you know
still plenty of water to enjoy.
A lot of water just going by here fast the other day. Okay. Hey, we're here with Bill Chappelle, who's running for re-election for Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Okay. Permitting and construction. I mean, it's been battles. In fact, there was Leonard Moyer's telling me he got together a group of people, of contractors he said he was going to, and I haven't gotten back to him yet, contractors and permit people and the building people to see how they can, you know, work together to actually get permitting, you know, pushed through. I mean, I know of a couple of cases where it's taken 4 years. I mean, these are businesses that would be bringing lots of money to this town, this county.
It needs to be streamlined. And one of the things that me and Pam talked to Rick Simon right off the bat, just as we were getting into office, is that I wanted him to put some books together. In fact, he found some old stuff, and he was working in that vein, and I haven't double-checked it yet, and that's bad.
That's been 4 years.
But he has some stuff laid out. But, like, if somebody comes in and wants to build something, there's a booklet or there's information there that what they need to do. I can share this with the audience. Rick Simon, the other day, was probably about 3 months ago, 2.5 months ago, he was speaking openly in one of our meetings, so it's not a secret. And he said one of the problems we have is the people come in and talk to somebody, and then they get that part of it done, and then when they come back in, they talk to somebody else, and then the plan changes. And I go, Rick, that's the problem. Don't have them answer questions that they don't know what they're talking about. It only adds to frustration and costs. And I know one of the areas that, and I talked to some of the supervisors about this. I brought it at one of the meetings, and they got a little upset with me. Is impact fees, because the supervisor did approve all the impact fees. But the impact fees, I'm going to give you one example. There's called an industrial one, and that's 365 cars a year. I had a gentleman that wanted to add 7 storages to his 50 storage unit. He fell under the industrial use of 365 cars a year. His impact fees were up over $20,000. So we found a study in Colorado that did storage, how many cars a year per storage. 1 car per year per storage. So now he's paying for 365 cars per year when he should only pay for 7. So that's what I'm talking about. And I said those impact fees on industrial use should be light, medium, and heavy. And the heavy should be the 365, and then drop down to medium and light. There should be categories in those fees. And we will, for the next 4 years, review those fees again, and that's one of the things I'm going to work on. The other thing is that I get contractors, and they tell me they can go to Siskiyou County and they can get their permit the same day, and sometimes it takes 2 or 3 or 4 months here to get the permit. The lack of interest or the lack of knowledge or whatever the lack of it is in our permit department needs to be changed. It does. It needs to have a revision. If we have people that want to build stuff and it's a viable, it's a good project, it's not a tin shack somewhere, in other words, it meets the permit standards, then that should be expedited in an expedient manner. It doesn't need to take 4 months for this to drag out. And the fees, I mean, it's just, and I know the county needs the money, but the fees, impact fees and stuff like that, are just really additional taxes on people.
Of course it is.
And we need to look at that.
Well, this is a good idea, but, I mean, it takes 3 people. This is a good idea, all right, first of all, to go in and take a look at it. Why does it take this long? So when you go and you ask Rick Simon this, what's he say?
What I do is I circumvent everybody but Rick Simon, and I deal directly with Rick.
That's what I mean. So what's he say?
What does he say for an excuse why it doesn't get done?
Yeah. Is it the contractors are all screwed up?
No, he doesn't really comment on it a lot. He doesn't actually comment when I ask him those questions. He says he'll look into it, okay? The problem is that I don't know if it's the staff. I had a business for 25 years. I know as a business owner, if I ask somebody to do something, and it was a 4-hour job or a 5-hour job, and I didn't go back in a couple hours and see how the job was doing, I was remiss. I was wrong. If the employee's not doing, I need to see how the employee's doing. You can't, and I don't know the management skills, okay? The management skills need to be hands-on. If you're trying to change an attitude, which that's what Rick Simon's up against in his staffing because of the attitude that was prior to him, then he needs to be a hands-on manager and make sure that the what he implies that needs to be done gets done.
So
and
he you're saying he is. So you're saying he's not a good manager then over there.
Well, I can't say that because I don't know, but it has the appearance.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Tell us something you want to accomplish during the next 4 years.
Me?
We have like 2 minutes. What would be the first thing you could accomplish, what would it be?
I think the ARC's going to be a good idea because it's going to have a rehabilitation center in it. That aspect of the ARC that will get done, I think that we need the sobering center, and I think we need the crisis intervention center. Me and Carl had talked privately about the sobering center. That can bring the homeless in. We can weed out what homeless we can help and not help. The crisis, that's sobering centers for drunks. The crisis centers for drugs and people that are in a crisis life situation. So they have two different things that they operate on. That would help our homeless population. It also could help our criminal population, because if we caught them while they were drunk before they did something, maybe we could get them in the right direction and get them to the proper programs that can give them help. And I think those two things need to be implemented. I also think that we need to work with our planning commission and work with Rick Simon and so forth and kind of get that streamlined. I mean, that's my number one thing that I work on with people that have problems. And I could go for a whole hour talking about the different problems we resolve. So that needs to be streamlined, where people feel comfortable, not threatened, about going into a government office and trying to get a permit. That's, to me, that's important. That's really important. And so then I'm getting time cut.
I am. I'm cutting you off here. Now, how do people get a hold of you and your reelection committee and all that?
Well, just my cell phone's 524-0590. It's 524-0590. That's me. So
Bill Chappelle running for reelection. Which district?
It's District 4, so it goes up to Siskiyou County.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Well, thank you for
having me. There's a lot of stuff
really
going on here.
There's a lot.
It'll be more. Hey, everybody, it's going to be 111 today. Take care out there. It's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The cops off the hook in Baltimore, and a would-be presidential assassin wins his release. Those stories in a moment, but first, Trump is on a roll. The GOP presidential nominee firing back at Democrat nominee Hillary Clinton, saying she's been a mess. That goes for the Democratic convention as well, in Trump's view.
You look at what's happened with ISIS, which isn't even mentioned. You look at what's happening with law and order. They don't even mention our police. They mention everybody but our police. They don't have an American flag on the dais until we started complaining.
Trump is blasting Clinton for holding no news conference in almost a year, for flip-flopping on trade issues, and for her stand on immigration from terrorist breeding grounds.
And Hillary Clinton wants to allow 550% more people from that region into our country, and we have no